Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we come to the final item in the list of seven spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 7, which is the gift of showing mercy. Let me read the entire list again. They are found in verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We have gone into this list and divided them into three categories, and by putting them in categories, we have taken them up in the categories rather than in the exact order in which they're found in the text. So it might be helpful at this point to go back and work our way through these three verses again, taking them up in the order in which they are inserted into our scriptures by the Spirit of God. Having then gifts, simply a reminder that every Christian is a gifted Christian. Every believer is a gifted believer. Not some of you have gifts, no, all of you. Having then gifts, as we all do. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all have gifts, but they differ widely. There are seven different ones listed here, others in other portions of Scripture. And even in the exact measure and combination of gifts that each of us are given, there are no two exactly alike. Even though there are seven gifts, that doesn't mean that if you could divide the body of Christ into seven categories, you could put all of the people with this gift in one category and all of the people with this gift in another category, and that everyone in that particular category would be gifted in the same way. No. Everybody is different, not only in the area of our giftedness, but also in the way that that gift expresses itself through our life, through our experiences, through our training, through our circumstances, through our personality, and the way that God has dealt with us. Furthermore, all of us have all of these gifts to some degree, but they're only called gifts when they're in a rather obviously extra degree. So all of us have these capacities, but not all of us have them in a large enough measure to be called a gift. But because we all have them to some degree, then there are shades of degrees in the gifts. And even among people who have gifts, there's shades of degree there. There are people who have the gift of teaching, and there are people who have the gift of teaching to an extraordinary degree. They are teachers' teachers. They are exceptionally gifted teachers, and so forth, right on down through. Those who have the gift of giving, there are some who have it, and there are some who have it to an extraordinary degree. I think of R.G. Letourneau from Longview, Texas, I think it was Longview, who was such an extraordinary giver. God blessed his business. He determined that he was going to turn things around from the normal way of thinking, and he was going to give God 90% and only live on 10%, whatever that 10% should be. And I'm sure in the early days that meant that he was living very frugally, but you see, God blessed him so incredibly that he became a multi-millionaire. He gave away millions of dollars, but the 10% he had left was a whole lot more than the 90% that I have, which is just another illustration of what I tried to tell you on the broadcast yesterday, or was it the day before? It was the day before, on Friday, about how when you exercise the gift of giving, your capacity for being able to exercise it is going to grow. How much should you give to God? That old argument. 10% or more? Well, how much do you want to give to God? How much do you want to be able to give to God? Is really the way to look at it. Do you want to be able to give more? You say, well, I need this for myself. Well, if God blessed you like he did R.G. Letourneau, keeping 10% and giving 90% to God would still leave you with more than you have now by keeping 90% and giving 10%, or as many people do, not even giving an honest 10%, keeping 95% and giving 5%. And you say, well, it's not really 90%, 5%, or 95%, 5%, or 90%, 10%, because, of course, the government takes its chunk. I know. I'm just talking in broad generalities, but you understand what I'm saying. And there are some people who have the gift of giving to an extraordinary degree, and I don't know that if you determined to give God 90%, that you'd ever be blessed as much as R.G. Letourneau. Unless you have already been extraordinarily blessed, I would not recommend that you start out planning to give God 90%. Because you probably can't do it unless you have been already extraordinarily blessed in material goods. But if you said, I'm going to give 11% this year instead of 10, and see what happens. And the next year, I'm going to give 12% and see what happens. And 13%, see what happens. If you did that just adding a percentage a year, one percentage a year, over 20 years, you would go from 10% to 30%. Over 30 years, you'd go to 40%. Over 50 years, you'd go to 50%. And God, no doubt, would enlarge your capacity so that your 50% would be a whole lot more than your present 90%, you see. You just don't understand how God operates. And we get short-sighted, and so me-centered, and so materialistic in so many different ways. But at any rate, I'm working my way through this list now. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Whatever your gift is, use it. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, serving, let us use it in our ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, whatever your gift is, use it. Whatever your gift is, get busy with it. Whatever your gift is, get involved with it to the utmost extent of your ability. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and finally, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What is showing mercy? Well, showing mercy is direct personal ministry to those with special needs. Those who are sick, those who are weak and infirm in various ways, those who are elderly, those who are alone, those who have suffered great loss, those who are grief-stricken, those who are racked with pain, and so forth. And what do you do to show mercy? Well, you provide extra care for the sick, housework, yard work, meals, transportation, financial help, etc., etc., etc. In other words, you just come alongside and provide some help in the area where they need help, and do so inobtrusively and as quietly as possible, without calling a great deal of attention to yourself. And, as the scripture tells us here, we do it with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. A word that literally means hilarity. Remember where the Bible tells us the Lord loves a cheerful giver? The Lord loves a hilarious giver? Well, it's the same idea here. With cheerfulness, with joyful eagerness. You don't do this acting like you don't want to, acting like it's a terrible imposition. You know, there's some people who have such a clumsy awkward way of helping others that sometimes after they've helped, their help has been more of a burden than a help, if you know what I mean. But we've all experienced that, no doubt. They help in such a clumsy, heavy-handed, awkward, difficult way that by the time they're done helping, you really wish they just had not. Well, that's no good. It's like visiting somebody in the hospital and taking that opportunity to rehearse all of your operations and ailments, and not only yours, but all of your relatives. Hey, that's not the appropriate time and place to do that. I'm not sure if there's ever an appropriate time and place to do that, but it sure isn't when you're visiting with somebody in the hospital. You aren't there to focus upon yourself, and you aren't there to remind them of all the possible maladies and things that have happened, that could happen, that might happen, the things that could go wrong. You are there to encourage them. Show mercy with cheerfulness, with joyful eagerness. Joy in your own heart that you have the opportunity to do this, not grudgingly, not in a mechanical manner, but in a cheerful manner. Singing as you go about your task of cleaning that sick person's house because they can't do it themselves, of helping that sick person turn over in bed because they can't turn themselves over, and all the things that need to be done. And you do it with cheerfulness. A cheerful attitude in your own heart toward God, because you have the opportunity to serve Him by serving others, offering a cup of cold water in the name of Christ, visiting the sick and the needy in the name of Christ. And remember, Christ said, if you do it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. How would you act if you had the opportunity to minister to Jesus Christ in His sickness, in His pain, in His poverty, in His need? Oh, you say, I'd do that wholeheartedly, and I would be so grateful for the opportunity. Well, you do have the opportunity. Christ said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. You can do it for Christ. You are doing it for Christ when you're doing it for Christ's children with the right heart attitude, with cheerfulness. And so, show mercy. Just, if you have this gift, you're already doing it because your heart's drawn out to do it, and just continue to do it and continue to develop it. And all of us need to learn to develop this showing of mercy to a greater degree than we are doing it now. We can all learn and grow. We can all minister to others somewhat, but some have a special giftedness in this area. So, that's the list of seven. Now, how do you find your spiritual gift if you don't already know what it is? Just get busy and get involved in the various ministries of the church in various ways, and you will find by the things that you are drawn to and that you do most easily and that other people confirm you in doing, you'll find that your gifts will become apparent. And just use those gifts humbly within the church to the honor and glory of Christ. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Or you can email me at beacon@netpath.net. The Beacon broadcast, beacon@netpath.net. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.